mankind was held in a manger. Very, very good. If you want your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, and appreciate very much all the work that went into last night. Looking forward to tonight for our Christmas musical with our kids as well as our adults. And we hope that you come tonight to attend. We appreciate this week some work that was done in the building, and appreciate those men who sacrificed time and to be here and to change some lights out and hang some soundboards and even last night change out some tile. Amen. And appreciate these men very much. Matthew chapter 1, very familiar passage, and again around Christmas. Remember, look at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Jesus means Savior. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. Chapter 2, verse 1, Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Our choir sang about that this morning. Saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Let's pray. Lord, bless this time. We do pray, God, that we would again see Jesus Christ afresh and new this morning. And Lord, we do know that He was the Savior, but one day will be the soon-coming King. Help us, Lord, to see these truths this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. When Jesus Christ is born in that manger, hope was in that manger, held up by that manger. But can I tell you this morning that the Jews were looking for a different Messiah? The Jews were looking for a different Christ. They were looking for a Messiah who would come and deliver them from the Roman oppression that they were under. They were looking for a Christ, a Messiah who would come and take away their burdens and take away the yoke of the Roman government. They were looking for a hero. They were looking for a deliverer. But can I tell you that contrary to the Word of God, they were looking for the deliverer, but they were missing a lot of the Old Testament verses that alluded to and made very clear that the Messiah would come and he would suffer. There are many verses that alluded. We think about Isaiah 53 says, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. We think about Psalm 22 and many others that describe a Savior, the Messiah who would come, who would suffer, who would die. A Messiah who would come, a Savior who would come and would kneel and who would bleed and who would die. And these prophecies were ignored. These allusions, these inferences were set aside in favor of the Messiah who would be that great and wonderful judge, that Messiah who would come and deliver them and would reign as King of Kings. That's what they were looking for. And when the wise men came, they asked Herod, Where is that is born King of the Jews? Think about that for a moment. We think about why Jesus came. Can I remind you this morning that great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, who being in the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person, the only begotten of the Father, God in the flesh.
We think about it over and over again that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, incarnate. God with skin on. Jesus Christ, God, left the portals of glory, laid aside His glory, not as deity, but laid aside His glory in order that He might become flesh. He became man. So, as these wise men ask the question, where is He that is born King of the Jews? May I say this morning, before He could become king, He must become man. In other words, in order for Him to become king, He must become human. I'm glad of that this morning. I'm glad He became one of us, because if He hadn't, He couldn't have died for us. If He hadn't, we couldn't have had a Savior. If He hadn't become human, if He hadn't become God with skin on, if He hadn't become the incarnate, we would have no hope. And our faith would be in vain. He became human. One born of a virgin. The Bible makes it very clear in Matthew that Joseph knew her not. A virgin shall conceive. And can I tell you, Jesus Christ was born of a virgin this morning? You say, preacher, you still believe that in the year 2000? I absolutely believe it. I believe it without a doubt, without a shadow of a doubt. It's one of the fundamentals of the faith. If Jesus Christ was not virgin born, that we are without hope. And we are, again, as I said, our faith is in vain. He became human. But He also became our Savior in that He had the legal right to become king. All right, so what we're saying is, if He is going to be king, what must happen in order for that to happen? What things must take place? What events must happen in order for Jesus to be King of Kings? One is, He must be human. Number two, He must be a part of the royal line. And can I tell you this morning, He got His legal right to the throne through His stepdad Joseph, and got His human right to the throne through His mother Mary, the God-man. In order for Him to become king, He must be born under the law. The Bible makes that very clear that we are under the law, that every person born in this world is under the law. Romans describes that the law has been written on the heart of every man. The Bible says, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written herein. In other words, we are under the penalty of sin, which is breaking the law. We are under that great burden of sin because we are lawbreakers. The Bible says that whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even also to them, for this is all the law and the prophets. The law, summarized in the New Testament, is that we should love others if we love ourselves. Who in this world, who on this earth can love everyone in the world as they love themselves all the time? Cursed is a person. Cursed is a man who continueth not in some things that are written herein. No, all things. Because we cannot keep the law perfectly, because we cannot love everyone in the world as we love ourselves all the time, the Bible says the wages of that sin is death. We are under the penalty of sin. Everyone with me? We are under the penalty of sin. For the wages of sin is death. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Listen, you can be a moral person. You can be a good person. You can try to live a just life. You can try to live a righteous life. But the Bible says that all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. Listen, it's not whether or not I'm better than my next door neighbor. It's not whether I'm more just and righteous than the deacon here in the church. That might be pretty easy. I'm just kidding. It's not whether I'm better than the person who may live behind me, in front of me. It may not, whatever the case is. They are not the mark. Listen, my neighbor is not the measuring stick. The deacon is not the measuring stick. The pastor is not the measuring stick. Can I tell you that all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God? In other words, God is the measuring stick. And because I cannot meet up to Him, because I cannot meet up to His mark, because I'm so far below Him, because I'm so far beneath Him, Therefore, I am a sinner. Again, I could be a pretty good person. I've met a lot of moral people. But just being moral and just trying to live right and just trying to be a good dad or a good mom does not relieve you of the penalty of sin. Listen, Jesus Christ came and He fulfilled, He satisfied the righteous demands of the law. What did the law demand? The law demanded perfection. The law demanded that one would come and live a sinless life. Jesus Christ, the God of glory, came in flesh and was born in that little manger. But can I tell you this morning that He lived a sinless, law-fulfilling, righteous life for 33 and a half years. That this little baby born in the manger, that this little baby, this God in the flesh, that baby grew in stature and wisdom, the Bible says. And yet, listen this morning, He never once had a sinful thought. Never once did He commit a sinful deed. He was not sinful in His disposition. There was not a nature within Him that even craved to do what was wrong. He met all the righteous requirements that the law demanded. 33 and a half years of sinlessness. You see, that baby in that manger did not cry for no reason. That baby, as it grew in stature and wisdom, did not rebel against his parents. That baby that grew in stature and wisdom never took a piece of candy at the store. That baby who grew in stature and wisdom never one time committed sin. The perfect Son of God. Can I tell you this morning, in order for Jesus Christ to become King of Kings, He must become human. And thank the Lord He did. He must be a part of that royal line. And He was of the Halcyon lineage of David through His mother Mary, humanly speaking, and legally through His stepfather Joseph. Thirdly, He must fulfill the righteous demands of the law. He also must redeem those who are under the law. He must redeem those who are pronounced guilty before God. I'm glad He was willing to do that. I don't know about you, but I'm glad He's willing to do that. Romans chapter 13, verse 19 says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God." The law, the Bible says here, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." The Bible says the law is our schoolmaster that brings us to Christ. Why? Because it was Jesus Christ who redeemed us from the curse of the law. It's Jesus Christ who came and died for us and rose again the third day to redeem those of us. By the way, all mankind who were under the guilty burden of sin. Under the penalty of death. Then we think about Jesus Christ, who before He could reign as King of Kings, He must first be our Savior. All the things we described, as those wise men came and said, "Who is this one who is born King of the Jews?" But before He could ever be king, He must be a Savior. Verse 21, Matthew 1 says, "And she shall bring forth a son and shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." Jesus Christ became a man in order to save us. And I don't know if you've got this written out there in verse 21, but you ought to just make sure you understand that the name Jesus means Savior. The name Christ means Messiah. The name Lord means boss. Jesus, our Savior. Therefore, Jesus Christ was not only born king, but also earned the right to be king by His victory over sin. Not only His victory over sin, but His victory over Satan. Also His victory over death, hell, and the grave. My Savior lives today. My Savior lives today, victorious over sin, Satan, death, and hell. By the way, His own people rejected Him. He came into His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on His name. Can I tell you this morning that Jesus Christ, who came as our Savior, who came to save His people from our sin, from their sins, that He came in order that we might become the sons of God. In order that we might have the opportunity to become children of God. Christ came to redeem those who were lost. Again, all are lost. Make sure you're very clear now. The Bible says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. Now when the Bible says men, it means mankind. All mankind. Through Adam's sin, all mankind became sinners. I don't know about you, but we're all in the human race this morning. Some of you aren't, maybe. I don't know. Some of the teenagers are suspect. Maybe aliens as much as they can eat. All are sinners. All are part of the human race. And therefore, because of our great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, Adam, we all became sinners. Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death came upon all men, for all have sinned. But can I tell you that we choose to sin? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So therefore, we are under the penalty not only because of our heritage, but also by our choice. Amen. This penalty. Jesus Christ, who is this born King of the Jews? Well, in order for Him to become King, He must first be our Savior. Many others resounded this. Isaiah made this saying in Isaiah 53, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. 750 years before His birth, it was prophesied that He would come and that He would be wounded and that He would be bruised and that our sins would be laid upon Him and that through His death, we would have everlasting life. 750 years before He was born. What others say about Jesus? The angel of the Lord said to Joseph, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus. Jesus, Savior. For He shall save His people from their sins. Savior. Well, what are we saved from? Saved from what? If you see a child drowning in the water, in the lake, and you go out and you pull them out of the lake and you put them up on shore in safety, you have saved them from drowning. And therefore, I'm telling you this morning that Jesus Christ has saved us from spiritual death. Jesus Christ, our Savior, has saved us from eternal damnation. That's hellfire brimstone. That's what He saved us from. He has saved us from the penalty of sin. He has saved us from hell. He has saved us from the awful curse of sin. He shall save His people from their sins. What others say about Jesus? The angel of the Lord said to the shepherds, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a what? Savior, which is Christ the Lord. What? A Savior. No, the shepherds should have stopped and said, hey, He's supposed to come as King, not a Savior, not somebody. No, Savior. Mary said, I thought He was coming as King of Kings. No, Savior. He'll save His people from their sins. He came as Savior.
which is Christ the Lord. And I pointed out last night, I'll remind you again, the shepherds probably understood what it meant when the angel said Christ, which means the Messiah. They probably understood what it meant when they said Lord, which means master and boss. What do you mean that a Savior is born, which is Christ, the long-awaited Messiah that was prophesied in the Old Testament? That's what we mean. That's what was said. And Lord, you mean He's going to be my boss and master? They would have understood that. They would have understood that term. Jesus Christ, Savior, Messiah, and Lord. And then our main text, Matthew 2. The wise men saying, where is He that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship Him. What others are saying about Jesus. Luke, that beloved physician in Luke 19 said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus Christ the Savior came to seek and to save that which is lost. By the way, He's seeking you. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord is not willing that any should perish. He wants everyone to be saved. He doesn't want anyone to be under the penalty of sin. He said He came to seek and save that which is lost, that wandering one, that wrecked one, the one without hope in this world. That's all of us. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Well, preacher, I'm a pretty good person. So was Paul. Paul wrote over half the New Testament, and yet he said he was the chief of sinners. He said, Jesus Christ came to save sinners, and I'm the chief. Can I tell you this morning once again that we are all sinners and come short of the glory of God. In need of a king? No, in need of a Savior. In need of a Savior. The world is in need of a Savior. We think about what Jesus Christ said of Himself. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, He said, I've come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. He was sinless. He was sinless. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, He said, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. What an example He was to us. He was a servant. A great servant. Matthew chapter 20, and verse 28, He said, I came to give my life and give my life for a ransom for many. Can I tell you this morning, He was our substitute. See, that righteous, law-fulfilling life is meaningless unless you put it into context. And that is this. When Jesus Christ came and that little baby, God in human flesh, was born in the manger and then lived that law-fulfilling, righteous life for 33 and a half years, there was a reason for that. The reason was in order that He might fulfill the righteous demands of the law, but there's even a greater reason than that. You see, what happens when you get saved, when you accept Christ as your Savior, is that you have a sinful record. Right? All of us, before we're saved, we have a sinful record. We build up a sinful record, and whatever that may be, lies and deceit and deception, harmful thoughts, bad thoughts, all the things that we may and may not commit, sinful, selfish sins. That record builds up. The Bible says when we accept Christ as our Savior, that sinful record is erased. That's what justification means. Listen, justification means my sins have been forgiven, just as if I'd never sinned. But justification goes on to even more greater things than that, and that is this, that not only are my sinful record been erased, but Christ's sinless 33 and a half years of righteous life is put in its place. Understand this morning, Christian. When you accepted Christ as your Savior, your sinful record has been erased, past, present, and future, and Christ's sinless
law-fulfilling life was put in its place. And one day when I stand before God, God will not see my sinful record, but He will see Christ's sinless record. In fact, not one day in the future, He sees that now. I'm glad I'm a child of the King, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, that I'm no longer under the penalty of sin, that I'm no longer under the damnation of that law that I've been placed under, the law-fulfilling life of Jesus Christ. That now my feet have been placed on a solid rock. That rock is Jesus. Jesus Christ came and gave His life for me. You see, He exchanged my sinful record for His sinless record. He did more than that. You see, the law demanded a penalty. The law demanded justice. Jesus Christ not only swapped His record for mine, but then He went to the cross, laid His life down on that cross, and there He shed His blood and paid the penalty of my sinful record. Not only that, but He paid the penalty of the entire world, all of mankind. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ paid sin's price. Paid sin's penalty. Jesus Christ fulfilled the demands of the law for me. How? By giving His life for me. By shedding His blood for me. By going to the old rugged cross for me and for you. But all of us know it doesn't end there. You see, Joseph, Arimathea, went and got his body down off the cross, placed him in the tomb. But can I tell you, when they checked it 3 days later, he wasn't there. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. What does that mean, preacher? That means he paid for our sins in full. See, he had no sins of his own, but he went and paid for our sins and then rose again the third day, proving he paid for our sins in full. He didn't pay for our sins halfway, part of the way, kind of the way. Paid for our sins in full. And because of the resurrection, by the way, the power of the gospel is the resurrection. We talk about the virgin birth and all the essential aspects of the law, but without the resurrection, we have nothing. We're without hope. I'm glad today He lives today. I serve a risen Savior. Jesus Christ now sits at the right hand of the throne of God. But He's not done. He continues to seek and to save those who are lost. He is our Savior. He destroyed the works of the devil by way of His sacrifice and resurrection. Jesus Christ said Himself He is to call out a people for His name. Can I tell you, He's sinless. He's a servant. He was our substitute, our Savior, our sacrifice, but He's also the soon coming King. And soon, very soon, we're going to see the King. See, He won't come next time as a lamb. The next time He comes, He won't come as a sacrifice. The next time He comes, He will come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He will reign forever and ever. What a mighty God we serve. His coming was a gift from God, proving and showing His love for us. His coming as Savior, substitute, Redeemer, paved the way for Him to become our King. Let's all stand. Hymn 154, Jesus is Calling. This morning the message has been plain and simple. Jesus Christ. Where is this person? Where is the one born King of the Jews? Well, in order for Him to become King, He first must be our Savior. And I praise the Lord that He was and is. That He came in that little manger, that He was born God in human flesh, lived a law-fulfilling life for 33 and a half years, and yet placed Himself on the cross,
died a cruel death, shed His blood for us, in order that He might pay the penalty of death for us. Was buried, and on the third day He rose again from the dead. But soon will come as King. Lord, we thank You today for Your love. Lord, we thank You for this wonderful truth. I pray this morning if there's someone here in the audience who does not know You as Savior, that today they would accept You. That today they would see You as their Savior and accept You as their Savior. Lord, as Christians, we thank You so much for the sacrifice You made, and we just praise You and we look forward to Your soon coming reign. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing, look this way, 154.